I think trying to figure this microphone out has been harder than trying to find a lesson. So that's a great start. but I'd like to start off by just welcoming all of our visitors that are here. There are a few of you that have come from back home. And so not to put any pressure, but that's how it feels a little bit. The one that said, I drove 8 hours to come listen to you. thank you for the ones that came here from other congregations around here, because you heard I was speaking. I don't know if it was because you wanted to listen to me or if you just really were hoping for an early lunch. So it won't be as long as some of the lessons we've had here, but it... I'm hoping I get the point across to everybody. And then just thank you to the elders and to Elijah for setting aside this fifth Sunday we have for men in the congregation to get up and present a lesson that don't normally do this. So we're going to start this off a little different than most lessons. I'm going to ask for a show of hands from everybody. Raise your hand if any of you growing up has had memory verses that you've had to do in Bible classes. Okay. A lot of you. Now, raise your hands if you have to write those verses down in order to memorize them. Just constantly write them down. I'm one of those. Now, here's the fun one. Raise your hand if you've ever had to write a verse as a punishment. All right. Now, the reason I say that is because I loved to argue. I would argue, the expression is, I will argue until I'm blue in the face. I would argue with mom and dad until they were blue in the face. But they found out at a young age, the person I wouldn't argue with was God. Because there's a whole different level of punishments going on there. Arguing with my parents, I could get grounded, I could get a spanking. I could get a little smack on the hand or just a talking to. You argue with God, that's a much bigger consequence. So I didn't want a chance of that. But one of the verses that I remember that I wrote thousands of times was Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents, for in the Lord this is right. And that's kind of the reason I say all that is because I wanted to take this lesson this morning from Ephesians chapter 6. Just kind of a overview of how I view this chapter is you have three different sections. You have where it starts off, children obeying your parents, and it throws in a little bit of parents help bring your children up in God. And then you move on, in my opinion, to a little bit more difficult one. It's slaves and masters, which... And nowadays, I know we don't have slaves and masters and everything, but nowadays I look at it as students and teachers, employees and employers, just anyone that is above you. And then the final one that's in here, and that's the hardest one, but the most beneficial, that is being a soldier for Christ. It's preparing yourself for everything against the devil. So I'm going to start off by just reading Ephesians chapter 6 for everyone. Children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the reining and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your human masters with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Don't work only while being watched in order to please men, but as slaves of Christ, do God's will from your heart. Serve with a good attitude as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, he will receive this back from the Lord. And masters, treat your slaves the same way, without threatening them, because you know that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand, therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Pray at all time in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth, to make known with boldness of the mystery of God. For this I am an ambassador of chains. Pray that I might be bold enough in him to speak as I should. Now, starting back off there, in the first four verses, I had Eli read verses 1 through 3, because if I'm doing scripture reading, I prefer a shorter one. And instead of just reading the whole chapter, just start him off there. Starting off with this, though, in Exodus chapter 20, we have the Ten Commandments. And Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, "Honor your father and mother, so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord God is giving you." So here in Ephesians, it's not just Paul saying this is what you should do. He's reminding them that this was a command from God. This is something we are told to do from God, and it has been one of the first commands that we ever received. And we also, just throw this out there, we also have it a little easier to obey our parents nowadays. Whenever you disobey your parents, you get grounded, you get a spanking, you get a smack on the hand, you may get a scolding, just talking to, and then sometimes if you're walking through Walmart, you see the parents, the kids don't get in trouble at all. This would not have worked in the Old Testament, in the Old Law. There was a much bigger consequence that came out of this, and it'll throw you off whenever you try to fit that into today's. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 18 through 21, it's the rebellious son. "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father or mother and doesn't listen to them, even after they discipline him, his father and mother must take hold of him and bring him to the elders of his city, to the gate of his hometown. They will say to the elders of his city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He doesn't obey us. He's a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of his city will stone him to death. You must purge the evil from you, and all Israel will hear and be afraid." Now, think of how that would go if that happened today. With every time that I argued back with my parents, every time that I decided I was going to try to just sneak by and not do something they've told me to, I would have been dead a long time ago. That's just the truth of it. And I'm sure most people in here would have been too. Because from the ages of when I was born until now, I still like to think of myself as smarter and know more than my mom and dad. And some people, they continue that way the rest of their lives. And then, so you have right here, it's not only a command, but you also have examples of what would have happened to you if you didn't obey your parents. And just to fall into that category, it's not necessarily all the time of just, I mean, one thing that we did as an example, mom would call me over there to her, and she would say, "Alex, jump." And I'd say, "How high?" And that's something we did quite often, and it helped me learn that even though you feel like you just look stupid and ridiculous, it's a good thing because you're learning how to obey. And we'll see later on how obeying your parents can help you out in the rest of your life. And then down in verse 4, where it says, "Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." I don't think that's necessarily speaking to just fathers. I think it's parents. Parents, bring your children up in the Lord. And they will grow up, and they will be able to see the examples that you've set for them. I have a passage for that one, and it's Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22. "Listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she is old." Now, that's going back to the kids. I know they're supposed to bring you up and teach you and train you and instruct you on how to serve God. But just because you hit 18 and you're now an adult doesn't mean you don't listen to them anymore. They are still your parents. They still love you. And the job that we have then, and me included, is you show them the love and the respect that they deserve, because whether or not you believe it, they've done more for you than you've ever done for them. And that's the same in my situation. And so it's just reiterating, serve them, obey them, and then it can make the rest of this an easier task for you. And then, so moving down to the slaves and masters, you have slaves, obey your human master with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Don't work only while being watched in order to please men, but if slaves of Christ, do God's will from your heart, serve with a good attitude as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, he will receive this back from the Lord. And masters, treat your slaves the same way without threatening them, because you know that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So in verse 5, where it says fear and trembling, it's not saying you need to be afraid of them. Don't physically be afraid of them. They're not going to come out and beat you up. It's talking about giving them respect. They are above you. They are the authority above you. And I have a hard time with that, because I've always had a boss. Everyone, actually, raise your hand if you have a boss right now. Yeah, there's a lot. So it's difficult sometimes when you're working underneath somebody. But you just need to have the understanding that they are your boss, and you need to show them the respect that they deserve. And then remember, you're not only doing that just for them. You're doing that for God, too. It was a command from God. So by doing that, you're serving God, and you're letting your light shine as a Christian. And then for verse 6, where it says, "Don't work only while being watched," I use Proverbs 13, verse 4. Proverbs 13, verse 4. "The slacker craves, yet has nothing, but the diligent is fully satisfied." Now, for me, my boss takes two vacations a year. One is around Christmas time, and the other one is spring break. We get a list of things that we are to do throughout the week. Now, the one around Christmas is a very short list. It says rake pine straw. The one around the spring break, it's a much longer list. It's mow all the apartments, mow all the houses, mow the golf course, keep it looking nice. And that last part where he says keep it looking nice isn't an excuse for us to just sit there throughout the day. And it is very hard to stay focused in work, especially when you're not being watched. And we're not watched. I'm not watched most of the day. We have two sections on our board. The first one is over here. You walk in and it says job 1, then it says job 2. He writes you down for the first job of what you're doing in the morning, and then your second job is what you do before you leave for lunch. So you have from 7 o'clock until 12:30 to get both of those done. The first one normally takes until about 8:30, 9 o'clock tops. Your second one, you can take a break, slack off, but you get the consequence whenever you just wait. You don't do anything, because then you're looking at staying there until dark, because you get that job, and then you have two more when you come back. So there's just an example of not working. And also, if you slack, you won't be happy. You're always going to find something to complain about. Your time's going by too slow. The day is never going to end. You've not done your job, so you feel bad about yourself because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And then, secondly, I don't feel good about getting a paycheck at the end of the pay period if I know I haven't earned it. And then it says, he who does not work will not eat. So you have all of these different things tying into obeying your boss and doing it because you're a Christian and not doing it and doing it not only when he's watching, because you also have God that's always watching you throughout the whole time. You may not see him, but you have him watching you throughout the whole time. So to backtrack, we have children obeying your parents, and that's the easier one. It's still difficult, but it's easier. You have obey your parents, and from the young age on up until you're out of high school, really, they're always there. It doesn't matter if you want them gone. They're always going to be there. Mom showed up to school every time I didn't want her there, and you're always going to see them. And then you have the bosses, and they are there, but they're not really always next to you. They see what you're doing, and they keep tabs on it, but they're not always standing right next to you. And you can also use that in with teachers. When they give you a big project to do, do you go home and do it, or do you put it off until the last minute? Because at that point, you're being a slacker. And that was what I did. I would get a project or I'd get homework, and you'd put it off until the very end. My motto all through high school was, if I could keep C's throughout the first section of the semester, I was good, because at that point, all you had to do was suck up to the teacher enough so she could give you some extra credit and you could get a B. And it's not a good method, because it doesn't pay off later on in life. I was a slacker, and I went to college my first year, wasn't ready for it at all. And it'll really get you. So just don't be slackers, and understand that your boss is watching, and it is written down for us to understand that we need to be doing this, even when they're not watching us side by side. Then we have down, starting in verse 10, finally be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness. For the gospel of peace, in every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stand alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Now, in this, we've just covered over obeying your parents, obeying your boss. Now you have the tough one. It's fighting for God's army, being a soldier for God, and obeying Him. And you have wear the full armor of God to be able to fight against temptation. Now, with that, you have the truth that is a belt. It's tied around you. You have the truth tight with you. Righteousness is the breastplate, and it needs to shine bright. You need to let yourself shine as a Christian would. Stand out. If you're watching any of the old movies with knights and everything, they're all wearing silver. If you wear a bright gold one, you're going to stand out. So if you're standing out, people will understand who you are and what you represent. Readiness. Here it says sandals. I think of it as shoes. Just wear your shoes. Be ready to run from any temptation that you have coming up against you. If you're not ready to go, what's going to happen? You're going to get tempted, and it's going to hurt. And it's going to be much harder to get back up and keep going. The shield of faith is going to be able to keep everything that is being thrown at you from all over the world. And in today's society, that's hard. You have everything going on around you that you think would be cool to do, or everybody else thinks is cool to do, and it's not correct. It can get you into trouble. And so you have that shield up, you have your guard up, and you're staying focused, you're staying ready. Nothing's going to be able to get through that, because your guard is God. Nothing's going to get through Him. As long as you serve Him and love Him, He's going to help you. Then you have your sword. It's your Bible. This thing needs to be with you at all times. Not physically in your hands, but you need to have it in your heart. You need to keep this with you. And it's for me, I have one that stays in my car. I have one that stays in my room. I used to have one that stayed at church until Mom thought it was hers, and it disappeared. And so, yes, I am still a little bitter about that. But we have this, and the reason I do that is because in any situation, someone can come to you. You can sit there and have a conversation, and the conversation can strike up immediately about God. And if you don't have this with you, you have no proof. You just have your word against theirs. For instance, there's an older gentleman that worked with me, and every you know, so often, once a week or so, he would talk to me about God. He would talk to me about his church and how he hadn't been going. And we could turn to different passages on our lunch break and see where different things are correct and some things are not. And so it's a very helpful tool to always have with you. And then you have, right before that, you have your helmet of salvation. That's, in my opinion, it's knowing in your head that there is a better place. There is salvation. There is somewhere you can go to live happily and never have to worry about any of this again. You always keep that in your mind, and it's going to make life a whole lot easier. So we have all three of these points, and you have your first one, obey your parents. Your second one, obey your boss, your teachers. The third one is, at this point, you're ready to fight in God's army. You're obeying God, and you're ready to be a soldier in His army and wear the full armor of Him. And in order to get that last one, you have to do the first two. You can't just skip over it. I was trying to figure out a way to put that together like that, and all I could think of was three strikes and you're out, but it's not, you're out. You've got three strikes, but you have three different steps. It's not you're out. It's three different steps, and then you can get to heaven. It's a much easier thing said than done, but it's possible. And you know, I said this was going to be a short lesson. It has been. But to finish off, something I like to that I you can look at to just kind of tie everything together is Romans chapter 13 in verse 1. Romans 13, verse 1. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. and those that exist are instituted by God. So you have your authorities, and that doesn't just go to, and that covers all of it. That doesn't just cover parents, bosses, teachers. That covers your presidents, your government, everything, every person above you. Understand that they are put there by God, and the authority was put on them, like above you, by God. And it's easier said than done, but knowing that all this is going on, it makes these things a little bit easier. It makes it a little easier to be able to, when your dad says, clean your room, makes it a little easier to do it. Whenever you know that God's telling you to clean your room. And for me, whenever my boss says, go pull weeds out of the green, which involves a little screwdriver, you go out there, stick it under, you pinch the top of the weed, and you pull up. I don't know if y'all have seen grass, but weeds are everywhere. So you have them on every aspect of this green, and all it takes for him is to go around and spray. But he tells me to do it. God is telling me to serve my boss. I have to say yes, sir, and go and do it. You also have the worst one that we've ever done is in the concrete. He says, go scrape the weeds out of the parking lot. Who does that? Who scrapes weeds out of a parking lot? You have this, but that's God. That's God's way of testing me. Am I going to give respect to my boss? Say yes, sir, and go do it. Not mumbling under my breath like 90% of the time it is. I can't believe he makes me do this. But it's God's way of testing you. Are you doing what I've told you to do? So, for the conclusion, you know, Romans 13:1, and you tie all that in, and it helps remind you that you are following God. And by following God, you're following your parents, your masters, your bosses, your teachers, and everyone else above you, and then you're ready to fight his fight. At that point, you're ready to put on the armor of God and to serve him. And if I know this was a short one, and y'all are welcome, but if there's anything that we can do to help prepare you for this, you can come forward while we stand and sing.